photographer tosses up whether to take the ultimate invasive photograph. A young woman gets lost in five-star hotels. And a beloved author is asked for her new book in some pretty incredible circumstances. Hello, I'm Melanie Tate, and welcome to Now Hear This. People all over Australia telling their own true stories to their community into a microphone without any notes. Tonight, our stories are coming to you from the Right Around the Murray Festival in Albury-Wodonga. And you'll be meeting three women who you might know from their writing, but tonight they're getting personal. First, let's meet Kat Sparks. Before Kat was a writer of climate change fiction, she had a super interesting job.
I went to art school in the 80s, did my own developing and producing of negatives, etc. And then when the first of my friends to have a baby had their baby, I went round to take baby photographs. I took a particularly classy shot of them, entered it in a bulletin magazine photo competition and won a $10,000 trip to Paris. At the time, I was working in a very strange job for the New South Wales Premier's office. I was a media monitor, which meant I sat in a strange little room listening to talkback radio for reaction to government policy, surrounded by recording equipment. And one of the press secretaries had the bulletin magazine one day and he looked in it and said, "Well, that chick works here." And he came in and said, "Is that you?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "Oh, would you like to be the Premier's official photographer?" And I went, "Yeah, all right." So they got me a camera and I started going out with Mr. Premier, who was Nick Greiner at the time. Sometimes it would just be in a car with him. Sometimes there'd be an eight-car cavalcade when it was a visiting dignitary. We did popes, we did royals, we did premiers, presidents, and we even did rock stars. And I went along and I'd take the photos and they'd get distributed and I'd print them in the darkroom attached to my father's painting studio. I remember one time one of the senior press secretaries coming up to me saying, very drunk at a gig because there was quite a lot of alcohol involved, he said, "You know what, Kat, you've got what it takes to be a great photographer." "Oh, what's that?" I said. "Big tits and flat shoes." Now, at the time, my grandmother made it to 100. She lived in a flat in Wollstonecraft. My mother, my sister and I used to visit her every week. We'd stagger it to give her lots of visits. But one time my sister and I got there at the same day by accident, so we're having a chat. My sister was an archaeology student at the time through Sydney Uni. She said, "We've got a dig going in Jordan, but we can't find a photographer anywhere." And I went, "Oh, well, I'm kind of a photographer." She said, "Would you want to come?" And I went, "Yeah, all right." So I went to see the professor who explained to me the difficulties of working in Jordan, but I wasn't listening. I just wanted a free trip overseas. And so I said, yeah, I can do all those things. So I get on the plane, I get off the plane. Back in the day, it used to take 500 hours to get anywhere when you went overseas. I shoved me in a taxi, took me down to Petra. Petra, you know, Nabataean's pink sandstone city, walking along crunching on broken pottery. I'd only ever seen it in Tintin comics and Sinbad and the Eye of the Tiger before. Awesome stuff. They then took me to the dig site, which was in the Jordan Valley, not quite so plush. It was cold. It was dirty. There was hot water twice a week. Not much had changed in the surrounding villages for 2,000 years. So I'm there, nice middle-class kid from the Waverton suburbs in Sydney, and it's like, here's your darkroom, here's your chemicals. Now, back then, if you're doing photography, all your chemicals came in bottles mixed for you. Nope, they gave me a pile of chemicals and said, "There you go, mix it from scratch." Everything's designed in photography to work at 21 degrees centigrade. It was like 11. I didn't know that thermometers don't work below sea level. Turns out that's true. And I had to mix chemicals. I had to get them up to the right temperature using a kerosene heater. They're flammable. They're carcinogenic. I couldn't work outside because of gale force winds. I had to do it in the dark. My darkroom was a tin shed. All the wiring was live. When I touched it, I'd get an electric shock. As you know, analog photography is all about turning lights on and off. I'd complained to the dig director, and they'd said, "Quit whining and wear rubber-soled shoes," obviously. I met some of the coolest people I've ever met in my life. I did, and I did a lot more travelling after that. After a while, I felt bad taking photos of people perhaps in lesser economic circumstances than myself. I started feeling bad about it, shoving the camera in their faces, stealing a bit of their souls. I went back home. I went back to my strange job in the closet with the little recording devices, listening to white people in the suburbs whine about their lives. And then one day something happened that made me change everything. It was 1995, John Faye was the Premier. John Faye was a lovely man. a really, well, still is, a lovely man, lovely, kind, beautiful man, great. It was like having your uncle be Premier of New South Wales. And what the night, 1995, the night he lost the election, I walked in, I was still the official photographer, I walked into the room, and there he was, sitting on a chair, like you here, with a daughter on each knee, a tableau, and they were all crying. And I walked in there with the camera, and I knew there was no part of me that could take that photograph. I could not take that photograph, I could not steal their souls. But here I am today telling you a story about a photograph I couldn't take. Thank you.
Kat Sparks told that story at the Now Hear This we held a couple of months back in Albury at the Right Around the Murray Festival. Soon, a heartbreaking story of what a writer did for a fan who wouldn't have quite enough time to read her new book.